At one time, Las Vegas, New Mexico was the Southwest's largest town. The advent of the Santa Fe Trail brought thousands of wagon train immigrants passing through the region en route to the Promised Land in the West. The advent of travel by rail routed the Atchison-Topeka and Santa Fe Railroad through town, spurring a boom in businesses. Even though the Amtrak serves Las Vegas today, main east-west railroad routes diverged long ago through Albuquerque. Today, the physical legacy of boom times is poignantly preserved by a plethora of stunningly beautiful stone and brick Victorian-era businesses and homes. There remains more than 900 historic buildings in town listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Gold Harvey House, the Hotel Castaneda, a metaphoric anchor located adjacent to the Amtrak train depot, and remains as an iconic symbol of the town's historic significance. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a conversation with three modern-day immigrants who left big city life on the East Coast and West Coast to happily hunker down in an under-the-radar paradise. Come along and join Jan and Frank Berskins and Cindy Collins as they share their stories of discovery and settling in the real Las Vegas in the heartland of northern New Mexico.
I'm Frank Berskins from Buffalo, New York. We're traveling to Santa Fe for a conference and staying at an Airbnb. And the host suggested it for a side trip that you come visit Las Vegas.
And you knew nothing about
it. Knew nothing about it. And the first obvious thing was, you mean Las Vegas, where they gamble and stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's, no, this is only 45 miles away. It's only about 45 minutes from Santa Fe. And we took a drive around town, and the typical sights, if you're coming in Las Vegas, it has the historical plaza and these beautiful Victorian buildings from the turn of the century, an incredible castle just out of town called the United World College.
A big castle.
A big castle, yeah. Looks like from another dimension.
Somebody said Hogwarts.
Yeah. And the other thing unique in that area was hot springs, and there was about 8 or 10 hot springs baths.
And these are really fairly undeveloped, rustic hot tubs.
Completely. And they've been used for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a common place for the natives to gather, and then over the years, they've improved them a little bit, but the community is very conscious that they don't want anybody to know about these. So I've just violated the rule right there.
But it's not a business. It's not, you don't go into a building, you climb over the railing on the turnout.
Yeah, and the temperatures of them vary quite a bit. There's one called the Lobster Pot, which is a literal to its name. It's about 120 degrees. Mm-hmm. I reminded somebody yesterday that 120 degrees is where our on-demand hot water heater is set. So it gives you an idea of the temperature.
As those pools step down, you can find a cooler one, right?
Yeah, several of them cascade. So they cool down as in each transition. Some of them have got hot spots and where the water's coming in from the ground up. And you, depending upon which side of the pool you're relaxing on, you might get some extra heat right there.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to how and why you guys fell in love with Las Vegas, New Mexico, and moved your life. Introduce yourself.
And my name is Jan Berskins. I'm the other half of Frank. It's a good question, Tom. And I think part of the appeal was it was a totally different culture. As Frank mentioned, we came from Buffalo, New York. Not only was the culture different, but the topography, the mountains, the plains, the blue sky, which was the color of the aquamarine blue just blew your mind away. And it's that way, what, 340 days of the year. And we loved the people. When we our first visit, we had a drink in the bar and somebody sat next to us and started talking about Las Vegas. So we were constantly meeting people and enjoyed it really, truly a lot.
That's really cool. So here you are, you're just going, wow, what a different place. And you guys decided to move?
Well, we had no intention of moving, but that night, as we were in our Airbnb, Frank said, let's just go online and look at real estate. Went online and found a place that had three stone cottages. And I had said, if ever we were to move, I wanted a place where we could have kids come visit, family, friends, and this really fit the bill. Next day, we called the realtor. She showed us the place, and it was so unique and so much opportunity to make it a special place that we thought about it, went back to Buffalo, talked about it, flew back out a month later, and actually made an offer on the place, thinking they'd never accept it.
Right.
Well, they did, and then, uh-oh, what's going to happen?
The backstory to these cottages. Somebody was telling me they have a historic provenance in that these were priests used to live?
Yeah, it was built by a priest, the three of them. The story that we heard was he built one for himself, he built one for visiting clergy, and he built one for his housekeeper, and then had a garage. They were built 1924, 25, 26, and so they're 100 years old. The rock came, we think, near the World College or the castle Frank talked about, and it is limestone that got vivified by the sandstone that got so heated, possibly from the hot springs, that it is unbelievably hard, like lava. So these huge rocks were brought down from the castle area, and we heard the priest met three Italian brothers from Italy who were stonemasons. So they put these cottages together, and they've stayed pretty much the same in the 100 years other than the upkeep we've been doing.
That's really cool.
Well, we called it a stone cottage. They are literally rocks, not stones, or not cut stones. And that was one of the things that made it so unique from a builder standpoint. The first time I looked at them, I was amazed at how these 1,000-pound headers and hundreds of pound rocks, how a mason could ever have stacked those that high with perfect lines. The first thing I was looking at was the corners, and they were perfect. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine the skill. And as Jan mentioned, Italian masons built the structure.
And there is not another residence or structure in the entire town even remotely close to this.
No. And since the town has the west side of the town is largely adobe, and the east side is largely brick from eastern settlers that came here, I sometimes think that the brothers from Italy that laid the rock probably swore after laying this one they would never, ever, ever do a rock building again.
That's funny. Stone and brick, much easier.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, back to the town itself. Maybe introduce yourself.
I'm Cindy Collins, and I moved here about 24 years ago. Fell in love with it for the same reasons Frank and Jan did.
How'd you arrive here?
I grew up in El Paso and lived in Manhattan and Chicago and San Francisco. I remember I had this cute little one bedroom in Pacific Heights in San Francisco, and I remember walking around one day thinking, it's too perfect. The flowers are perfect in this yard, and this house is prettier than the next and cleaner. And I think I missed my El Paso roots. And my sister and her husband bought a house here and invited me for Thanksgiving. They took me to Bridge Street, which is our iconic historic retail downtown. And I just fell in love with it. I was a banker in San Francisco, and all of a sudden I thought, I could open a toy store. I could buy a house for the price of my one-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
So I moved here, opened a toy store.
And here you are.
And here I am, a half a block away from Frank and Chan, in a Victorian, not a rock house.
That's really cool. So you're involved in promoting the town now?
Yes. I opened a toy store, went bankrupt about 4 years after I opened. And I heard about this thing called Main Street, and I called the state office, and they said...
This is a national association.
Yes. Right? I wish more people knew about it. It's started with the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and it's in thousands of towns all over the country. And it's a method of downtown revitalization, historic preservation, and showing economic progress and tracking the results. So anyway, he said, you should apply. And we applied to be a main street. And I was elected to be the director, the executive director.
Wow.
So it all worked out.
Yeah. And how does it help promote and enhance this town?
Oh, goodness. The downtown is the heart of every town in America. And no one was going downtown anymore. And Kmarts and Walmarts and box stores were coming in. And the independent retailers were suffering. So it's a wonderfully organized approach to helping small businesses market themselves, educating the community on the value of shopping locally, holding festivals, planting flower boxes, helping attract new owners to vacant buildings, which we did with the recent Castaneda Hotel purchase, one of the beautiful, beautiful Fred Harvey houses.
And that's right at the railroad
depot. It is, yeah. And it was our white elephant. It had been vacant for 40 or 50 years.
Wow.
I mean, we helped. We didn't do it all, mm-hmm. but I take credit for helping.
Most Main Street towns have a signage somewhere in town that says that. I haven't noticed one here.
No, it takes a while to get things changed. Sometimes the word change is an ugly curse word. We finally put in directional signage because when you leave Santa Fe and get off the highway in Las Vegas, New Mexico, you think it's just gas stations and a few fast food places. And we do now have directional signage because it's a little bit awkward, curvy line of a downtown. Mm-hmm. But that took 9 years to find someone to buy the Castaneda. So that's kind of my magic number.
So it's really been propelled as far as the number of ma and pa and family-owned businesses that have opened retail shops.
Definitely, although during COVID they suffered, and then we had an incredible wildfire 2 years ago, and we're pleased that younger people are opening shops on Bridge Street and in our historic downtown, and restaurants are coming in. There's a lot of building renovation in the residential area. It's hard to find a house now.
I still live in California, and you're familiar with mm-hmm. where it's gone even since you left. There are a lot of people can never afford a home. They could never afford to buy a retail shop or structure, even mm-hmm. shell. But you can still do that here.
You can. And it's amazing the price difference between us and Santa Fe, buying a house or renting a building for a business.
A few blocks away, we went by this beautiful, ornate Victorian-era home. And I said, how much is that one? They went, oh, it's probably $350.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't buy a garage
I know.
Where I live for $550.
Right. And they're beautiful. We have more historic properties, I think, per capita in the entire country. There's only about 13,000 in population. We have 933 listed historic properties, which is pretty incredible. It sets a tone and a character for our pretty town.
Let's loop back to the plaza area and the namesake Plaza Hotel. What a beautiful edifice.
Oh, my gosh. It's just majestic. Victorian.
And it's like four stories?
It's four stories with a basement, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it is right on what landscape architects say is the most beautiful and well-preserved plaza park in the entire state.
And it follows that Hollywood loves that hotel.
Yes. Hollywood has a history. Romaine Fielding was a silent movie actor, and he rented the Plaza Hotel, I think, probably 100 years ago, and renamed it Hotel Romaine. And Tom Mix shot here. And then that continued through the 20s and 30s, and Hollywood discovered us really starting with Easy Rider when Jack Nicholson roared into town. And
rediscovered,
yeah. Yes.
And it goes on.
Yes, just last week they were filming a TV series. I can't remember the name. Las Vegans are funny about the movies. We're also casual about seeing movie stars or Josh Brolin having a drink, and we're pretty welcoming to them.
And why do they love it so much? Is it the architecture on the one hand?
They love it, I think, because they can choose an Adobe setting. We could be old Mexico. We could be Europe. We could be San Francisco with our Victorian architecture. So I think it's the unique architecture that makes it welcoming to set up a film.
And you guys are real supportive and welcoming, friendly and accommodating to Hollywood, right?
Definitely.
There are some shooting locations where even L.A., has lost favor. For a while, Toronto was called Hollywood North because they were so more amenable.
Right.
And that's what you guys do here.
I think so. I remember one instance in a district that was pretty vacant and pretty sad looking. The movies came in and redid all the front facades, and it was just beautiful and planted trees and flowers. And I ran over and said, "Thank you. This is wonderful." And he said, "Don't worry. Our contract says we will make it look like it did before we filmed." So sometimes it works in our favor or not, yes.
Yeah, that's really funny. A little bit more, why are you so proud of Las Vegas, New Mexico?
It's just a delightful place to live. I don't know how small town living, beautiful architecture. It's the architecture for me, I think.
Mm. And how about just the person that doesn't want to move, but they want to come and see? Why should they come here?
Oh, goodness. That's what we've been working on, a little group of us trying to get the word out about how special our town is.
Well, let me jump in for a moment. I think it has a lot for me. What is warming my heart are the family-owned businesses, the family-owned restaurants. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, there's no corporate flag places in the heart of town.
You're right. And the pride they have, the history, everything has a meaning. Every restaurant, Frank and Jan bought Stella's, didn't change the name because Stella was so beloved 80 years ago. And you'll find that in town. The parades are family traditions and festivals that go back probably to our beginnings in 1835.
So it's kind of an old Americana never got the message, and so it continues on.
Right.
A little bit of Mayberry RFD.
Some people say it's a Hispanic Mayberry. We all know who Otis is, and we know who Sheriff Andy is. And there's a little controversy about who Barney Fife is, but we're working that out.
That's funny. Okay.
I'm listening to Cindy's comments and just smiling that it's hard to define to people. I use the word, it's just a complex place. It has cultures, a very different culture, but very connected. As Jan said, the beauty of the area. Northern New Mexico, and we just took a trip visiting some of the sites around here. Northern New Mexico is absolutely beautiful. It goes from the Great Plains that you can see as if you're looking across an ocean to turn your head the other way and you see the tail end of the Rocky Mountains with snow-capped mountains. Mm-hmm. You can turn down any road in any area and just discover things that all you can say is, wow. The architecture's such a big part of it, and the affordability. I often say Las Vegas is special from the standpoint that it has a self-filtering mechanism. Mm-hmm. That is, if you come here or you drive by, there's two perspectives. One of them is, what in the heck is this and why should I ever come here? And the other is, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like that. As a result, a lot of us have got deep friendships here because you kind of automatically have a connection to anybody else you see because you've passed the filter. So it's a special place. And again, some people would shake their head and others view it as almost paradise.
In modern iteration of America, back in 1800s early, the Santa Fe Trail came right through here. And a lot of people discovered it, and some of them probably, this was the end of the trail for them. But then the next iteration was the advent of the railroad, which really propelled the town. And today, it's served by Amtrak. And I almost booked passage out of L.A. train station direct to here, to New Mexico, to Las Vegas train depot.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops here. That's really cool.
The history of it, as you point out, the Santa Fe Trail was a major, major factor in terms of building commerce through Las Vegas, because the area was one of the first stops that the wagon trains met that had water, it had food. So it was a kind of relief after a long, long trip. The commerce that resulted from the Santa Fe Trail was a huge factor to make Las Vegas successful, booming at that time. Then the railroad came. Of course, that displaced the Santa Fe Trail wagons, and the railroads brought Easterners west, in part pursuit of imagining the gold out here, which wasn't quite here, but It then brought Eastern merchants to come in and start developing the area. So we went from the Santa Fe Trail to the railroad, and it's one of the reasons why we have a part of the town full of Victorians that look just like they're from the East. And on the other hand, we have the adobes that were more from the early years of Las Vegas.
As a commercial entrepot of the whole area, like you said, the Eastern merchants moved here and opened a variety of retail establishments. Mm-hmm. Give us a highlight of some of the businesses that were here in that first iteration.
What surprises a lot of people, there was a lot of Jewish merchants that came on the train and were critical to the development of the area. And today we can drive down Bridge Street and half a dozen of those buildings were merchants that came here from New York. Also, one of the largest Jewish cemeteries in the West is here in Las Vegas.
Interesting.
So it's got this rich mixture of entrepreneurs and merchants coming west, and combined with the Santa Fe Trail, which the railroad had developed one of the most beautiful castles in the middle of a mountain right next to Las Vegas. And the purpose of that castle was built by the Santa Fe Trail to try to encourage more traffic on the railroad to come west. So it was a brilliant marketing strategy by the Santa Fe Trail, but it helped build Las Vegas.
The railroads had a lot to do with promoting and mythological interpretation of the West that drew a lot of vacationers mm-hmm. from the East.
Very much so. It's confusing. You think of New Mexico. Our grandson came here one time. We picked him up at the Albuquerque airport, and it was a foggy day, and we were driving on the interstate north, and the fog lifted. And he said, "Grandpa, Grandma, where's those cactuses?" And he was assuming this is a desert. Mm-hmm. New Mexico also is a surprise in that the entire population of our state is 2 million people.
Oh, wow. There's some towns bigger than that.
But as a consequence, you have incredible vast areas that have little population. We go hiking all the time. You never see another hiker on your trail.
You're 1,000 feet higher than Denver.
Yeah, 6,500, and we go hiking. There's an adaptation to the 7,000-foot altitude here if you're coming in from outside. We kind of joke, if you're going to go on a hike, you better take a deep breath because you're going to experience a little bit of lightheadedness.
And you have ski resorts right close to town.
Within an hour and a half, several ski slopes. And again, it's another aspect of the complexity of this area. It is not predictable in any way.
Has anybody told you guys you're spoiled?
We have to kind of remind ourselves, because you get so accustomed to all of the choices that we have here, that we kind of keep, I think, each other in check, that you know, the beauty of that sunshine every day, as today our trip, you go from Plains in an old fort that was
Army Fort,
guarding the Santa Fe Trail, to the hot springs, to the ski slopes, to I go back. It's complex. There's a lot of things here that are different.
Parting thoughts?
Parting thought. We would like more people to experience this and just enjoy what we're enjoying. I think, Frank, also in pointing out the population, it really is a treat not to have to worry about traffic, to go places and not see other people. That's a big plus.
No rush hour here.
No rush hour. And it's laid back, the pace of life. So that's a delight.
I was thinking the other day, my life is perfect. My garden is pretty, and I love my little house, and Jan and Frank are down. And I thought something must something's going to happen. Something's going to go wrong. And I've been thinking that for a while because it's just a delightful, wonderful place.
How cool. All right, kids. Well, I'm going to come back. And this has been a great time here.
Wonderful.
Yeah, what a surprise. Pleasant surprise. Not Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Las Vegas, New Mexico.
We'll meet you at the station.
I love it. All right, I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the original Las Vegas in New Mexico. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.